This is The Rich Eisen Show.
You are getting the best possible information.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Wow.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
If you woke up every morning and I told you you suck, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you you are the best fit for this, how would it make you feel?
You heard from Tua exactly what McDaniel means to him.
Today's guests, host of Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, Falcons quarterback, Kirk Cousins, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. We're live on the Roku Sports Channel. We're live on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have a SiriusXM Odyssey tune in. And we say hello to our podcast listeners. All 3 hours of this show is available in podcast form. Also, we say hello to anybody out there who takes in Overreaction Monday. Chris Brockman and I came up with the latest edition of it. We shot it live in New York City over the weekend at Fanatics Fest. That's out there for anybody to listen to right here and now, although we've got 3 fun hours of you to take in right here and now as well. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, will be joining us. Kirk Cousins, who is a quarterback of note in the National Football League, to say the least, of the Atlanta Falcons. He will be joining us in advance of taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers to start off the season in 2+ weeks, as the football season is directly around the corner. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a conversation with us on this day. Christopher Brockman, how are you, sir? Good to see you.
Richard, great to see you, man.
Are you cold? You gonna zip up?
Oh.
It's all right.
A little cardigan.
Okay, very. Oh, is it a cardigan?
Yeah, with the Larry David shirt.
Okay, very good. I like it.
All right.
Very good. Good to see you, DJ Mikey.
Good morning, Rich. How you doing?
Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, candles lit. What's going on?
I mean, Coach Sarkisian didn't really give me a lot of faith that these arch cards are going to be buying me a boat in the next 12 months. So I'm going to hold on to them for another year, it looks like.
Well, it depends what type of boat.
Yeah.
One that made by Fisher Price might be available.
One that preferably doesn't. You know,
I have a dinghy for sale. It's a small little, like, 12 footer.
Very good.
It's going to happen, though.
If you missed Coach Sark on yesterday's program, again, the aforementioned podcast can get you covered right there. There's also our YouTube channel. We're closing in on 800,000 subscribers there, and we greatly appreciate every last one of you for doing that.
Even the mean ones, Rich. Even the mean ones.
Let's start today's program with a quarterback who, in the National Football League, ranks third all-time with 277.8 passing yards per game in his career. With a minimum of 2,000 attempts, that's third all-time.
Whoa.
He rests between second place all-time Drew Brees, fourth place all-time Andrew Luck, a little bit better than Matthew Stafford, who has 5.7 fewer yards thrown per game. Mahomes leads the category, by the way. This player's name, you want to guess? You want to guess his name? Want to guess his name?
Justin Herbert.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
Hey.
Oh, good job, TJ.
Well, my initial thought was always going to be Dak, and I was like, no, it's not going to be Dak. It's not going to lob it up to me.
Hey. How about that? And all the conversation of he didn't throw the ball down the field enough, and what's going on with the offensive coordinator, and then last year got it all sorts of injuries and things of that nature. Third most all time. Justin Herbert.
Nice.
Problem with him is not his arm or his hand. That's been healed. It's the foot.
And his win-loss record.
Well, let's just
sorry.
You know, say that that's part of why Jim Harbaugh's here, right?
True. I hate to point out facts.
The weird chargering, we assume, and the fourth down calls, the fourth and three, let's go for it on our own 21-yard line sort of stuff, we assume will be all gone.
Fumbling at the 1 yard line.
That happened in Tennessee. Poor Melvin Gordon, I think, did it twice. He got one back and then lost one
in a row.
Oh, my word. So, yes, there's that.
Okay.
But the dreaded plantar fascia put him in a walking boot.
Big Ben was jealous.
And I don't know if Mike, you went across the street to our new neighbors there, and instead of a cup of sugar, you went there with a baseball and said, "This is what you do. You roll it out. You do this." But let me just say this:
I've taught Brockman.
Look, you just roll it.
He has one under there.
I do it during the show. It feels so good.
Is that your foot rolling baseball that you
kind
have?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Please,
he's always doing
it. Works.
Yeah, feels so good. That aside,
I could help him.
Justin Herbert's back, people. Justin Herbert is back. He showed up, did 7-on-7 drills.
Nice.
Look at him. Woo. Doesn't look like he put on much LBs in that walking boot. Looks like he's ready to go. And for me, this is just as great news as possible because we want everybody full strength. That's for sure. And here's what we would like to see. In a rare opportunity for the Kansas City Chiefs to go back to back to back. We'd like to see the strongest possible division opponents for them, too. Give them the toughest test that they can get. I'm sure Chiefs fans would like to push back. But the AFC West is turning into the old AFC East, man. That's what's been happening, where one team has an all-time great quarterback with one of the all-time great head coaches and one of the all-time great tight ends and one of the best defensives out there, one of the best defensive players out there, littered with all sorts of star players, Hall of Fame players. And the rest of the division's like, can't get out of their own way. Changing coaches, changing quarterbacks, trying rookies, doesn't work. And one year after another, after another, after another, that's 6 wins for the team that's dynastic. Doesn't that sound like the old school AFC East to you?
The Chiefs are the new Patriots, man.
That's the way it looks to me.
In every way, shape, and form.
That's the way it looks to me over the last several years. As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, last year when Russ, Sean Payton's old quarterback, beat the Chiefs in the division. That was the first time Mahomes had lost in division. And then he lost again at home. It's part of the reason why we're wondering if they could flip a switch. So what I'm saying is it's good news to see Herbert back, because Easton Stick starting week one versus Gardner Minshew for Chargers Raiders sounds like the old school AFC East. You know, Brady's crushing it. You know, Jets trying. Well, I mean, we could mishmash them all together. You know, Ray Lucas on for size. You know, Dolphins trying Tannehill on for size.
Jay Fiedler.
And so on. So, good to see him back. And now we just will see what it looks like offensively at some point. That's the next challenge, right? Is to see the Harbaugh style at work. To see the Harbaugh run first, protect your quarterback style, with a guy who throws for 277 yards per game, third best all time, with a receiving unit that has question marks all around it. And we'll see how that works out. But for the moment, to see Herbert back yesterday, August 19th, when the opener is around the corner on September 8th, that's good news. Give him a couple weeks, get him up to speed, get him out there, and see what the Chargers look like with the Ravens running back room behind him.
They open with a division game.
That's right.
Raiders.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Gardner Minshew coming into town.
Yeah, but let's go.
So here we go. You know who's happy? Jim Harbaugh's happy. His soundbite is the latest edition of the Harbaugh Files. Now, for those who may have missed it, just like all segments on this program are born out of just us spitballing live on this program. Last year, last several years, we had the Bill Belichick press conference moments.
Great segment.
Clearly not going to have that this year.
Nope.
So we decided to cast our spotlight on our friends across the street and my HC for all those years, Jim Harbaugh. And whenever he comes up with a gem, we'll present it to you in the Harbaugh Files.
Sometimes people that are standing on third base think they hit a triple, but they didn't.
The Harbaugh Files.
Be able to have Justin back out there practicing
today. Great. It felt like the music should be playing. I even thought I felt, I thought I heard music. Voices of angels, maybe. It felt great. Yeah.
The Harbaugh Files.
Gosh, I like that halfway through that he realized how kind of ridiculous he sounded.
Voices of angels,
so he just ramped it up.
Dude,
I love that.
I mean, you know, were they really thinking is...
thank God.
Easton Stick is just not the guy. With all due respect. I should have reversed that.
Yeah.
Who in the AFC West can surprise? Which of the other two? To make it a three-team race.
Denver.
TJ?
The Chargers. You're saying besides them?
We're throwing the Chargers in the mix.
Oh, okay. I got confused.
The other two. You got two other ones. Which one can put together a 10-11 win season?
I don't think it's the Broncos, Chris.
You think it's the Raiders then? Or you could say neither.
Can I? Okay, good, because that's where I was leading initially. I don't see either one of them winning 10 games.
Because the Denver Broncos are going to be starting a rookie quarterback.
Facts.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, but he's older than, it's not really a
rookie. Doesn't matter. So it's Brandon Whedon. Once upon a time, I think he's the only rookie quarterback to have an ARP card.
Good one.
In his first career start.
27, right?
Yeah.
Former Florida State.
Honestly,
Nick's
60.
Is better than Brandon Whedon. I mean, come on.
Brandon Whedon.
61,
right.
61 career starts. One would think we'll get him ready, but, you know, opening up against the Seattle Seahawks, against the 12s, that's going to be a different ball of wax, sir. I don't know, man. I just think for Gardner Minshew to show up and show out in what one would think, I mean, his last chance saloon to be a starting quarterback in this league?
Feels like it.
That he's going to have a chance, a week one start for Gardner Minshew in the NFL, that if he does not show up and show out and make sure that this Raiders team that won as many games as they did last year for the good news to hire Antonio Pierce as their new head coach. But on the other hand, that run that caused them to give the job to Antonio Pierce, place them too darn low in the draft order to get somebody in the draft. Can he do it? That is one of the biggest question marks of the season. And if he does, you want to talk about feel-good story? Dude who looks like he learns the playbook by the light of a jukebox, like Kenny Stabler back in the day, does it for the Las Vegas Raiders in 2024. Slinging it around. Davante Adams is no longer cursing into an NFL Films microphone on the sideline. The Condor leads the defense with Christian Wilkins to the playoffs. I would choose them over the Broncos of any team that can actually surprise.
Ooh.
So I don't know about the they've got Davante Adams. They've got that kid Trey Turner. They've got the law firm Jacoby Myers. They've got that kid Zamir White, who showed up last year in place of the injured Josh Jacobs.
I just think Bo Nix is better than both those guys at quarterback.
And hey,
we know how important
quarterback Brock Bowers.
Love Brock Bowers. I like their tight end.
Want to put that out as a poll question at Rich Eisen Show?
What is the phrasing?
Which AFC West team can surprise the most? Raiders, Broncos. Leave the Chargers out because I think that would be, in light of the singing angel voices,
I don't.
The choice that people would
really
good throw them in.
I don't know.
Dude, you don't think that'll be 80%?
Surprise most, or would knock off the Chiefs? What do you want to put there?
Well, I don't think anyone believes
really
that.
Want to word that.
Which AFC
West
team?
Can be a second playoff team?
Can be a 10-win team. Just don't include the Chargers. I'm telling you, it'll skew the entire poll. Just leave the Raiders and the Broncos.
Okay.
Thank you.
Rich, you're going to have to expound later on that.
The Chargers had five wins last
comment
year.
You made about Kenny Stabler in the jukebox. You have to tell
us.
I'll
tell you right now.
I'd never heard this before.
Yes, that's the phrase that they would use back in the day, is that when Kenny was, I believe, did John McClain tell
John
us
McClain
the story?
John McClain told us the story, yeah.
He's the longtime chronicler of the Houston sports scene, mm-hmm. of the Houston Chronicle, talked about how Kenny would be out all ends of the night, and he would basically learn the playbook by the light of the jukebox.
So at least he took his playbook out with him.
No, I just think that was the phrase that he would be, as Rod Woodson once told me, hooting with the owls. That's another phrase there. But you can't soar with the Eagles if you hoot with the owls. And I believe Kenny Stabler, now sharing the same bust room as Rod Woodson, would push back. They're busts if they talk at night. Speaking of Kenny's old head coach, Nicolas Cage, if they have those conversations, he would push back.
Right.
About not being able to soar with the Eagles if hoot with the owls.
I got to say, I'm putting the Chargers on this list because they had the least amount of wins last year between these two
okay,
teams.
Fine. You're just...
When
the poll turns out to be 80% Chargers and then...
I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, very good. Jim's going to plus them up 7.
I think you're crazy. You're crazy.
Jim's plussing them up 7.
The Chargers are going 12-5.
Hey, anything's possible.
Angels, if you're quiet enough... You can hear the Angels' voices singing from across the street because of who's back practicing across the street and for our neighbors. All right, we'll take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Monday.
There it is. I was waiting on that.
That was the Tebow. We got a new one.
That was Tebow.
Were you searching for that for the last 90 seconds, Mike?
No, that's okay. An easy
one. What is that labeled?
What is it labeled?
Angel Ah.
Angel Ah.
Angel Ah. How many A's and ah? How many H's?
There's an A-H-H.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Angel ah.
Good job, Mike.
Hoskins left.
Maybe that's what Jim needs to voice it.
Like that.
All right.
Here we go.
When we come back, this train will be back on the rails for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Florio and Kirk Cousins still to come. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. You love their jingle? You're going to love their friendly, helpful service even better because they're in the business of keeping your car on the road. And the parts knowledge they have, it's all you need for your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll find you just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or quick service? They'll help you there and find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/EISEN. O'Reilly Auto Parts. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. And let me tell you about Greenlight, folks. My wife and I use it for our oldest kid. Time is moving fast. Used to be, you didn't have to worry about what your kids were doing with money. But Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and money habits while kids also learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Anytime my oldest son uses his Greenlight card, I get an alert. How much he's spending, where he's spending it, and he also knows the limit that he has, so he learns how to save, invest, and spend wisely. I use it, my wife uses it, my kids use it, you should too. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/rich. That's greenlight.com/rich to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/rich. Well, the difference between me and Josh Allen, there's many.
Okay.
He can taste types of milk the way I can taste types of diet soda. Hit it.
Every type.
Don't, please don't tell me there's orange juice in here.
No, it's all milk.
You promise?
That's all milk.
You swear? Yeah. On our friendship? Say, I want to hear you say it.
I promise on our friendship.
They're not lying.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. You can drink whole milk, you know? That's 2%. Ooh, never mind. Is that reduced fat? Like the red one. 1%.
Yeah.
That's 1%?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, okay.
Oh. It's the 1%. That's what you're gonna try that again. Ready? What's up, guys? I'm trying milk. 1%. Ooh. Is that like half and half? I don't like that one. That one tastes like butter.
Oh.
Is it butter?
No. That's heavy cream.
Heavy cream, okay. Ugh. I'm lactose.
I'm telling it.
That's good. That's 2%.
Wow. No. Wild.
Yep. I don't like that. Ugh. That's half and half.
Yeah, there we go.
Mmm. It's 2% or whole. I think it's 2%.
Ooh, pretty impressive.
Ooh, chocolate milk.
No.
So, what is it, almond milk?
Yeah. Good.
That's not bad. 4 to 5. Go Bills.
4 to 5. Go Bills.
God bless that man. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Okay, let's take some phone calls. Ooh. And get to Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday, right? Let's do that.
Oh, we got a bunch of win-loss.
We do. We got a lot of win-loss. But let's go with Derek in Missouri, one of our regulars. First and first up. What's up, Derek? How you been, sir?
Hey, Rick, remember, pretty good, sir. So, correct me if I'm wrong, a couple weeks ago, did you guys mention that you'll be in Kansas City for the week of the...
We are. We're going to be doing our show from Kansas City. Our location, we will announce it next week. And we will be there Wednesday. Say that again?
Are you going to have a live audience by any chance?
I don't believe so. You know, unless Del Tufo, you know, zooms in because he's too important to actually go on the road with us anymore. Right, Mike? Is that it?
That's messed up.
Come is that on, messed up?
Come right. on, man.
No, he's got too much other stuff.
Football. Come with us, Mike.
He's in college football.
I mean, I'd be in a heartbeat if that was the case.
He's going to – well, Derek, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Well, what's on your mind?
So, I got to say, Rich, I'm pretty thrilled what I'm seeing right now from Bo Nix and Caleb Williams, but most of all, Bo, just because, I mean, hopefully what he's doing right now, he could just pretty much – if anything, I hope that will carry on to him being a starting guy come week one and for the rest of the season. And for Caleb Williams, I got to say, for Chicago, I'd be pretty happy right now what I see from him right now.
Well, I mean, he for sure, you know, he's got the eye-popping stuff. Bo Nix made a couple of very nice throws as well in his time. He's a starter. I mean, there's really no reason in my mind unfortunately for Jarrett Stidham, or no matter how much Peyton has been talking about Zach Wilson and approving of him, there's no doubt in my mind Bo Nix is going to be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And for them, I can only hope this stops the carousel that's been turning ever since Super Bowl 50 over there, you know?
Hey, one thing about it, if I could, before you guys get to Overreact Monday on Tuesday,
nice.
I just want to say that, you know, just, they're not showing any signs of any hesitation. I mean, they're not, like, trying to push the envelope or force the issue. It's like they can just carry that on for a full four quarters for a real game. Then they're going to make some strides this season, for sure.
Well, we'll see, Derek. And thanks for the call. We'll let you know if we're having any live audience, folks, when we're in Kansas City. So have been, let's see here, I'm looking at the leading passers for the Denver Broncos over the past in the seasons since Peyton Manning departed, since Super Bowl 50. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different quarterbacks that led the Broncos in passing in the 8 seasons since Peyton Manning went. You'll never guess half of them.
I just pulled them up, so I'm not going to guess.
Trevor Siemian did it twice. Case Keenum once. Joe Flacco once. Drew Locke once. Teddy Bridgewater once. Russell twice.
And by the way, the yardage totals are not impressive.
I mean,
not impressive, right? To say the least. Russell Wilson topped out at 3,500 2 years ago.
And even the year Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl, his numbers weren't that eye-popping as well.
Well, they weirdly won kind of in spite of him that year. Remember, Brock Osweiler came in and won a bunch of games.
Dude. And then before Peyton, Tebow, Kyle Orton, Jay Cutler, Jake Plummer, Brian Greasy, those were the ones between Elway and Manning.
Tebow had 1,700 passing yards in 2011.
And was one of the most exhilarating quarterbacks I've seen in my 22 seasons. When John Fox turned to him because Kyle Orton just couldn't, it just couldn't cut. He got hurt and he didn't want to go to Tebow.
Right.
You can't go to a quarterback who practices with the ball on the ground as much as Tebow was practicing, from what I was told at the time. They just couldn't do it. But I've never seen anything like it. The fourth quarter Tebow time was real. And Tebow won a playoff game, as Pittsburgh Steeler fans know. Yeah. The words out of Jim Nance's mouth describing the new playoff overtime rules on the CBS broadcast of that game. All you got to do is watch that playoff game going into overtime. It was the first playoff game using the new overtime rules that a field goal didn't cut it from the winning, from the team that started overtime. The other team had a chance to match. He was explaining all of that, and Tebow found Demaryius Thomas right over the middle, and it was over. One of the many examples why the Patriots got a nice break in their run.
How is that their fault?
Dude, the Steelers would have been a much tougher opponent the next week. You eviscerated Tebow.
It wouldn't have mattered.
As a matter of fact, you did John Elway the greatest favor because Elway was, you could see, like,
that game was,
he was kind of smiling.
44-10 or something?
You know? He was kind of like that Homelander gif of just like looking, you know, like, is it okay to smile?
Yeah.
Do the people around me like what I've just done? That's the way it looked.
Sorry, 45-10.
Every time Tebow scored, Manning allowed, and then Peyton Manning being available, allowed Elway to pull off a bloodless coup of Tebow mania because people in Denver were not ready to move on from Tebow. At any rate, this is what Bo Nix is trying to stop, a revolving door. I'm trying to look, though. Manning led the Broncos in passing 4 years in a row. First guy to do that for Denver since Jake Plummer did it. But I mean, they didn't win a playoff game. My gosh, after Elway won the Super Bowl, they didn't win a playoff game until Manning arrived. Until Tebow threw that touchdown pass. They lost in the wild card three years and then lost their conference, I guess they won a divisional round game in the mid-aughts. Anyway, long story short, that's what Bo Nix is trying to stop. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. We did Overreaction Monday, the podcast over the weekend. The Fanatics Fest crowd was awesome. Chris Brockman turned heel right on him, right off the bat, wearing a Paul Pierce gamer. Long story short is it's a fun listen, a fun watch. Check it out on our YouTube channel as well as wherever you get your podcasts. It's time now, though, for our weekly Overreaction Monday segment here, this one on a Tuesday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. on a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there, sir? What do you got?
What's up, everybody? Everybody good?
I'm good.
What up?
Week off to a good start. It's funny that we've been talking a lot about Bo Nix because I wrote this on Sunday watching Bo Nix play. He's taking the Broncos to the playoffs, people. Let's do it.
I think
Broncos
that,
country, let's ride.
Again, who are you taking out, man? Who are you taking out?
You're putting the Chargers in. Who are you taking out?
Let me think. Who am I taking out? I might Pittsburg out? I might take
Cleveland out?
I might take one of the North teams out, yeah.
Buffalo out?
I might do that too.
Okay.
But outside of the who you taking out, that would be a stunning turnaround. A rookie quarterback who is the last one taken of all the six chosen in the first dozen picks.
But with the most experience.
With a team that I would say has fewer weapons than Chicago, fewer weapons than Jaden Daniels has at his disposal.
Fair.
Fewer weapons at the disposal of...
Slightly more than New England, I guess.
Yeah, right.
You know.
So I'll push back and say that's an overreaction. He's going to the playoffs this year. Based on a couple of preseason starts, including a nice one against the Packers.
He looks pretty good.
I would like to see what he would look like against the Packers ones, if that's who would be. If let's just say if they put Denver in Brazil instead of Philadelphia week one on the Friday night.
That's fun.
Of week one. I would say he would look differently. But I'm glad you're high on him. I will push back and say that's an overreaction.
I think he looks pretty good.
Boy, I can't wait to see. Better than expected.
When
am I going to agree with you? Because I don't know if I agree with you a single time on the podcast.
It's been a while.
What do you got?
I'm kind of hurting on the inside.
You're on the reservation.
All right, how about this one? Two, again, who's coming out? Playoff teams. It's a 50-50 swap every year, right?
Sure.
Two of the league's big six will miss the playoffs this year. When I say big six, I mean Kansas City, San Francisco, Dallas, Baltimore, Buffalo, Philadelphia. Two of them will miss the playoffs.
If they're healthy, their rosters are too good. Buffalo's not healthy. We just saw also that milk tasting doesn't count in terms of wins loss. Just check out that Josh Allen video. Kansas City's making it. San Francisco's making it. Baltimore is too damn good to miss out. And Philadelphia's the same way.
Brock Purdy has not looked good so far.
Dude, stop it. Just stop it. I'm still waiting to just look down at my phone and see Brandon Ayuk signed. I'm waiting for that.
Dallas, top-heavy. AFC North going to be the best division in football.
I will push back and say that's overreaction,
they're
too.
They're all making it?
I'm not saying they're all making it. I mean, if I had to suggest one's not making it right now, it would be Buffalo. Based on the offensive change without Stephon Diggs and us wondering who is going to be the one to, if you will, step up for Josh Allen, and Matt Milano going down really freaked me out. If I had to choose one. But everyone else stays healthy. Their rosters are playoff worthy. All right, Chris, let's go.
People underachieve every year.
Who are you taking out? Dallas and Buffalo? That's who you take out? Who are the two you
name? I weirdly think San Francisco has a weird year.
Would you? Yeah, you're weird. So what would you say?
A weird year.
NFC?
Those six, how would you have answered that? An overreaction or not?
Two miss?
See, I know you have the thing where you say every year so many teams don't make
it back.
That's
true,
but it's a fact. So it is a fact, but in this case it is hard. Maybe the Browns.
Well, you're also looking at the glass half full in the fact of saying that if half miss, half of the previous year's playoff field also make, and those might be the six. But Cleveland is not an option. He gave you those six teams and said two of them will miss.
All right, give me them again, Chris.
It's San Francisco, Kansas City, Dallas, Baltimore, Buffalo,
the original six.
Philadelphia.
That was the... Oh, man. Rich, this is hard because...
Well, that's why I'm in this position.
Can I say Philadelphia?
Sure.
All right, I'll say Philadelphia.
That's possible.
This is one. What else you got over there?
All right, okay.
That's just one. Chris, you... Those are all our top teams. Like,
that's the point. I'm not making it easy. All right, here we go. Rookie quarterbacks, we're going to be talking about them all year long. I think both the rookie passing yard record and the rookie TD record get broken.
What do you got
this year?
So the rookie passing record?
Rookie passing record is 4370, Andrew Luck.
Okay.
Rookie touchdown record 31, Justin Herbert.
Jeez.
You're saying both of them?
Both go down.
Caleb takes one of them out.
Maybe the other guy on the screen is the
other
one.
And Jaden Daniels takes out a touchdown record?
Maybe.
Say both of them go down. Dude, you just...
The thing is, Caleb,
it's a passing league. It's offense. All the rules are for the quarterbacks.
So now, is it passing touchdowns as well? That's what you're saying. It's passing or total touchdowns?
Passing yards and passing touchdowns.
Oh, passing. So you running them in doesn't count either.
Let's see.
Oh, man. Who had the touchdown record? Was it
Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert.
31.
Oh, man. It's just so rare. I'll just say no. I'll just say no again. I'll say that's an overreaction. Both of them go down, too.
I say, if I jump in, Caleb breaks both of them.
Now we're talking. Well, I was kind of hinting.
Caleb Williams.
I was kind of hinting over the weekend that Caleb might be our first 4,000, 1,000 quarterback ever.
Runner well. He's not going to run for 1,000.
You're not counting runs, right?
But I'm not.
DJ Moore, 10 touchdowns. Cole Kmet, 5 touchdowns.
Adunze gets eight.
Keenan Allen, 9, 10. I mean,
DeAndre Swift catches a couple out of the back.
There's a big possibility that 31 is going to
happen. I think that's fun.
All right, what else, Chris?
Fun. I think that's fun.
I would love to agree with you on something.
All right, I think maybe you get, I think maybe you finally, the streak ends here. I think you got this one. A lot of talk going back and forth between Tyreek Hill and Noah Lyles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who does Noah Lyles think he is? Okay. Nobody's, first off, congratulations. No one's recognizing you if you walk down the street. Why are you picking fights with NBA and NFL players? And Tyreek Hill is absolutely smoking him in a 50-yard race if they race. Absolutely smoking him. Tyreek Hill, he's been talking smack Noah Lyles. Tyreek threw the proposal out there. Let's race 50 yards.
I'd love to see it.
It's not going to happen. Because Noah Lyles knows he would get smoked.
Guess what? Why would Noah Lyles do it? It's a win.
Because he's been talking all the trash.
But because he's the best at what he does in his endeavor. Tyreek Hill is, according to his peers, the best at what he does in his endeavor.
Apparently, the fastest guys are all on the Dolphins. They don't even run track.
Dude.
Noah Lyles would get smoked.
Here's the one thing about Noah Lyles that he's an excellent talker. An excellent talker, and he's an excellent...
Doing a great job.
He can race the race, and he can talk the talk. Where he said that, why are NBA players calling themselves world champions? Did you hear he did not know who Jokic was?
Yeah, I saw that.
How is that possible?
Like, perhaps the best foreign-born player in the NBA today, with all due respect to the other foreign-born players in the NBA
that
today.
That seems impossible.
That he did not know that the guy who was calling himself a world champion as of last year... was in fact from the other parts of the world coming to America to be a world champion. So you gotta, you know, put it in perspective when it comes from Noah Lyles.
Give me the cheetah.
But I of course I love the cheetah.
Give me the cheetah. Come on, 50 yards. You saw how Lyles started slowly.
This is not an overreaction. Right. You can't sit here and say that that's not possible. I would love to see it, but why would Noah Lyles do it?
He's been talking all the trash.
It's the same reason why I shouldn't have ran against Schefter. I can't win for losing.
Yeah, you got tough.
Even by
it.
Just being beat out by Speedy.
Speedy Schefty?
Speedy Schefty.
I don't know, man. I think Noah Lyles would do it. Seems like his ego is large enough that he'd be like, heck yeah.
I would love it.
I don't know.
Let's do it for charity.
He's the fastest man in the world. You got another?
I got another one. I got a couple more. All right, here we go. How about this one? This year's NCAA, we talked to Sark yesterday, Texas head coach. This year's national champion, because we're going to 12 teams.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Is going to come from outside the preseason top four.
Preseason top four is?
Preseason.
It's Georgia, it's Ohio State, it's Oregon, and Texas is four. One of those four teams is not going to win this.
I'll agree. We have no idea.
We have no idea.
Dude, we have no idea how this is going to work. We have no earthly idea. And you even heard Sark say yesterday that this is like a professional football season in length, 16, 17 games. If you're going to be that you have to sit around and look in October, November, if you're making the tournament, you know, how much you push the pedal to the metal with certain guys that might be a little dinged up. Do you sit them knowing that you're going to end up needing them for that December push? The game's in early November. Do you have to win it? Do you have to be undefeated? Do you have to be one loss?
No. I think so, yeah.
Would it be great to have those four bye week positions so you don't have to host a game or go on the road in somebody else's campus? Sure. But is it necessary? No. We have no idea how this is going to play out. None at all. So I'll agree with you there, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
Because Penn State's nine, so I agree. They're going to come.
There
from,
you go.
Well, course. Michigan's nice. Also.
Syracuse is unranked.
Yeah. We will be at the end.
Okay.
Last one. Happy birthday. 76 years young to Led Zeppelin frontman Robert Plant.
Nice.
How Led Zeppelin is the greatest rock and roll band of all time.
Where did this one come from?
It's Robert Plant's birthday.
Robert Plant's birthday.
Okay. I'm aware of that. All right.
Any pushback on the greatest rock and roll band of all time?
I mean, you got the Beatles, right? You got...
We got the music aficionado right to your left there. I want to hear
Beatles
what he has to
say. Beatles are here. Everyone else is below the Beatles.
Yeah, right.
End of story. That's but in saying that, I do agree with Chris. They are the greatest rock and roll band of all time. Why? Because the Beatles were pop more than they were rock.
I see what you're saying.
They were rock and roll. Out of that pure fact right there that I spat out of my mouth, I agree with Chris Brock.
Thank okay, you, there you Mike. Go.
Thank you.
Very good. Good job.
I'm the music guy here.
That's why.
Because I got music tattooed on my arm in kanji.
Very good. All right. We will. Good job, Christopher. Well done right there. Very, very well done.
Thank you. So you finally agreed with one?
That's right, that's Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Overreaction Monday. Get the podcast wherever you can get your podcast as well. We had a lot of fun at Fanatics Fest right here. All right. We will take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. And then we'll set up Mike Florio right here on the program for hour number two in Pro Football Talk. We'll be joining us. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it actually for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. All right, this popped into my timeline recently. Somebody was watching one of the episodes of CSI Miami that I've been on. I don't know if this is Deep Freeze or
Caged.
Or Caged.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, there he is.
There it is.
I think
that was Caged.
Do you remember this at all? Do you have any like
I remember sitting there. I believe I'm interviewing somebody.
I believe you filmed this at the lights by LACMA, right?
No, I filmed that. That was filmed, I believe, right down the street in Manhattan
Beach.
Wait,
you were in Miami?
No.
No, they fake L.A. for Miami all the time.
Well, at any rate, that's a perfect way to start another episode of Residual Rich.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
paid that man his money.
All right, I have three envelopes. One, two, or three. Mike, choose it. One, two, or three. No, one, two, or three. No,
three.
Three. Envelope number three. Here we go. Let's see. I'm opening it up right now.
Can hear
yeah. And this is for draft day.
Hey.
Oh, draft day.
I worked with you on that.
All right.
You sounded great because of me, Rich.
Draft day, and it's for internet rental, electronic sell through, whatever it is, pay TV, video, DVD, free TV. Chris Brockman, have at it.
$2.40.
Mike Del Tufo.
$1.
$1.
Like
two Jefferson.
$2.99, Rich.
$2.99. Ooh. And the actual retail check is, guys, way off here. $30.15.
Oh, whoa! Whoa!
Lunch is on Vontae Mac no matter what.
Whoa, Rich, I think I
got that one.
That's $30.
That's a significant amount. Dang. Imagine. Again, if I'm getting, you can buy 30 Rich Eisen trading cards.
Right.
Plus tax.
Yeah, so like 24, really.
Wow, $30, guys.
But wow.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show. This is a first. We go to break, and Chris Brockman, you'd like to reopen overreaction?
I'd like to reopen. I got one more, Mike.
Oh,
you got one more?
So overreaction Monday and Tuesday's done.
Oh. All right, we'll get one
more. And you got one more. What do you have?
I got one more.
Hang on.
It's all right. Go ahead. You don't need music.
We don't need music.
Yeah, you got
it. Are you ready? Yeah, the entire WNBA, I'm talking players, coaches, and refs. They're all a bunch of Caitlin Clark haters. They're all a bunch of jealous haters.
Yep.
I gotta sit here.
They have.
Wow.
Yep.
They are just working themselves up about Caitlin Clark just to hate on her. Skylar Diggins is bumping her. Their girls are complaining on the bench. Referees are getting into it now. They're all a bunch of haters. Caitlin Clark is taking over this league. And every passing game that she does something awesome, it makes the decision to leave her off the Olympic team that much stupider.
I've got to, you know, I was over the weekend seeing the return of the W, seeing how great she is still.
She's already set the rookie assist record.
She's better. She's better. Like the month off that the Team USA gave her. You know, when she was, and by the way, I was thinking that as they were in danger in the gold medal game, like, how would they have handled that as she's taking pictures with Aaron Judge, you know, going to Yankee games while the gold medal was in the offing for.
I think they were 2 of 12 from three in the gold medal. They didn't need any outside shooting.
Dude. When France was about to take the gold medal, if not for the Kevin Durant sort of foot on the line, right?
2 inches of foot
at any rate.
That would have tied the game, not taking
the gold medal. That would have tied the game.
So I was just thinking to myself, man, that what is the malfunction with leaving her off the team? And then the W returns, and I saw she got teed up. And how could you listen to this soundbite and not agree with you saying what you've just said, that the rest of the WNBA are a bunch of Caitlin Clark haters? She got teed up. You turn off the music and play. This is her soundbite explaining why she got teed up. She it looked like in frustration. She kind of used the ball was underneath, you know, on the floor, underneath the rim on the floor. And she kind of like flipped the ball with the toe of her foot, you know, while she then slammed her arm in frustration on the stanchion underneath the backboard, and she got teed up. And this was her post-game explanation of it.
I got a technical for basically being mad at myself because I missed the three and then I went and hit the backboard and he told me it was disrespectful to the game of basketball. So I don't know. It reminded me of the technical that I got in college where I said, damn it, where it's like a personal frustration, had nothing to do with my team, had nothing to do with their reffing, had nothing to do with other team. It was just because I'm a competitor and I felt like I should have been making more shots. So, but I think he fired me up to continue to play a lot harder. I thought we got a lot better after he did that. So I want to thank him for that.
So listen, you know, officiating, we're always as appreciative as we possibly can be of officiating and how difficult it is.
Love that.
No matter the sport, no matter the level, it's not easy to do. But could you imagine being an official and telling Caitlin Clark,
that she's being disrespectful to the game. Like, what malfunction must be occurring in somebody's temples to say such a thing? That I'm not only going to be the arbiter of whether something is a foul or not, I'm going to be the arbiter of whether somebody's toe was on the out-of-bounds end line or not. I'm going to be the arbiter of whether Caitlin Clark is being respectful to the game or not. Are you out of your mind?
I don't get it, man.
Imagine coming to work that day and saying something like that to Caitlin Clark, who spends, I mean, we can't, I shouldn't even go down the road of what she does and how she conducts herself and the fans that she's brought in and all of that.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
Honestly.
Wow. Mike.
Honestly, because I can't. So how can you not think this? What is it? Is it jealousy? Is it anger? Is she maybe doing stuff we don't know? You know?
You would think that would get highlighted if she was being, you know, if she was dirty or somehow talking trash or something. You'd feel like all the hater sites would pump that up.
That's another example of this. Brady. Brady was great, and he was got a lot of crap for not getting penalties and stuff, but he was great. Like, people, or he got...
No, it's a difference between being... Yeah. No, Mike. No, that's apples and oranges. Yeah. Where Brady would be, you know, he'd get flags thrown on somebody else because they're trying to protect him.
But
this is an official telling her, you know, you're not respecting the game, so I'm teeing you up. Like, instead of just saying, like, oh, my, you know,
was part of that.
Like, honestly, if the official thought that she was like angry at the call or whatever, but
NFL was already popular.
It's just you're out of your mind.
It happens.
All right, that's the latest example. Yes. So yes.
I think
it does appear to be, and it would be great to just see her make a great run to finish the season.
Yeah, go on a playoff run would be amazing. Make him even madder, I guess.
You know, while Angel Reese goes on her 20 and 20 games. It's been fun. But, you know, normally you've got something to say on the subject matter.
I this particular case, I don't.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Do you agree?
Okay. Because the last time we talked about Kate, and I know you guys are going to be like, well, you read that stuff, but this is a fact. The last time we talked about Caitlin Clark, you said she should be on the Olympic team. I said she probably shouldn't be on the Olympic team. I randomly went to our YouTube page. Listen, it's just a fact. It's a fact. And the comments there were so negative towards me because I said she shouldn't be on. I had more
people. That she should not be on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had more people calling me a racist in these comments. And I realized that she's a very trigger to a lot of people. So I think you do have some, I understand what you're saying there, Chris, but the way it was received on our socials, I'm going to leave it alone and leave it at that.
That's hour number one here on the program. Mike Florio coming up.
And I know you say, why do you read it? But
well,
the
it's
fact
not just
is,
why do
like,
you read
you,
it.
You
it's
read
just,
it.
You know, I mean, if you want, we can have a conversation about it offline. We don't have to have this conversation.
I'm just saying.
Because I have an opinion on your take on that front, and we don't need to just have it here. But I understand why you would be sensitive to being called a racist online, by the way. I get you on that. I just can't believe... Is that Schmoster? Who is the one who called the test?
Yeah, is there a WNBA version
of Scott Foster?
Great question.
There's got to be, right?
Great question.
By the way, that's how Cooper and I refer to Clay Holmes as Schmay Schmoms. Who's coming into the game? Is his name rhyme with Schmay Schmoms?
Do we know who the ref was that said this? Let's go down this wormhole.
I do want to find
the WNBA? So he could schmo the save.
Who is the Scott Foster?
I don't know.
I mean, that is such an unbelievable reason, though, to give someone a text. Like but she said, mad at herself.
But that's your opinion that they're disrespecting.
Right, but she's mad at herself.
But it's not just that. It's like, why would you have the default to bring into the equation that she could possibly be disrespectful of the game?
Have you not been watching?
Just look in the stands.
Yeah.
And look how she treats people who come up and ask for photographs and pictures. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
The hell?
It makes no sense.
That's what I'm asking you about.
What the hell going on, Mike? Makes no sense.
Mike Florio coming up.
Love it.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate
towards? I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.